Hey, Arizona, Guy Fieri here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell.
Welcome to On the Menu Live,
the most delicious hour on radio,
and the hottest in culinary and cocktail talk.
And now,
broadcasting live from another happy hour on 104.1 KQTH,
here's your host, Matt Russell.
Hey there, fellow foodies. Thank you once again for tuning in like you do every Saturday at 5 o'clock. You're listening to Matt Russell on The Menu Live, the most delicious hour on radio. Please follow us on Facebook, On The Menu Live, Twitter, On The Menu Live. Of course, check out our gastronomic gallery of goodness on Instagram, On The Menu Live. And when you're thinking about global gastronomy, when you're thinking about the wonderful, rich, and vibrant flavors of Cuba, all of the roads lead to the destination of deliciousness. For this week's live broadcast, we are, in fact, broadcasting live from Cuban Blaze on North Oroco Road in Oro Valley, just north of the El Conquistador. The red carpet has literally been rolled out for you, fellow foodies, so come on in here and get a snapshot. Transport your palate to Havana, save a little money on the airfare, and come in and meet the Duran family, because they are wanting you to come and visit and sit down with us and break some bread like they do down in Cuba. Well, here he is. Now, you know, when we make these decisions about who our celebrity co-hosts are going to be, who occupies the coveted celebrity co-host seat, these are very intentional decisions, and our guest is a guy who has actually never been on our show before, but he has rocked the morning airwaves for years on another radio station, KVOI AM 1030. He is the host of Wake Up Tucson. Our good friend Chris DeSimone is here.
Thank
What's
you very
happening,
much,
brother Chris?
How you doing, Matthew?
I'm doing great. It's nice to see you at this hour of the day. I only get to see you at like 6 o'clock in the morning.
That's
Monday
true.
Through Friday.
We have collaborated on other things during the wee small hours of the morning. So
yeah,
it's nice to do something in the afternoon together.
Well, you know, Wake Up Tucson, you know, for many years, we're going to be talking about your anniversary, which you just celebrated, but, you say it's great content, with, sometimes fun, sometimes serious interviews, all told with razor sharp wit and dripping in sarcasm.
That's pretty true.
That's Chris DeSimone right there.
Thank you very much. I resemble that remark. As we like to say, it's funny because I come up from a food background.
Right.
Grew up in a wholesale food import business in Brooklyn. I basically grew up with the best ingredients you could ever have.
Oh my gosh!
So my olives came out of giant barrels.
They
did
yeah,
not come out of
real
jars.
Deal.
You know, prosciutto hanging from hooks from Parma.
Oh my gosh!
So we basically made the best antipasto at Christmas humanly possible at my house.
Oh my gosh! So food has been this common thread that has weaved its way through the DeSimone family story.
So, and you know, doing the show, and you got 3 hours to fill every morning. If I was going to talk about politics all the time, I'd probably choke myself to death. Especially talking about local politics.
Yes.
So taking food, and every Friday we feature just like you do. So you've been doing this for 8 years.
Right.
Congratulations
Thank
to you,
you
too. Between the two of us, pretty much every week, there's two local restaurants getting spotlighted in Tucson, Arizona.
And it's on our shows.
Yes.
So are you still doing the Food Friday feature then?
You are correct.
Every Friday, tune in to find out. You know, Chris DeSimone is one of those who keeps his palate on the pulse of local food news. I love your show. It's always so entertaining. You go from everything from the politics of potholes
yes.
all the way to what's driving the trends on the food and beverage side. And you get to do this 3 hours a day.
Yeah.
Color me jealous, Chris.
15 hours a week is... Sometimes you say, well, so when I do like different discussions at Rotary, we're going to be talking to Rotaries, and they say, someone will raise their hand and go, are you ever going to run out of material? And I said, have you seen what's going on nationally?
That's right.
Do you see what happens in Tucson and Pima County?
That's
There's
right.
There's plenty.
Rip and read, man.
To talk about.
Well, you know, speaking of a lot to talk about, I mean, you call Oro Valley home.
I
mean, there's a lot going on here on the food and beverage side. What are you guys doing? What are the DeSimones doing when you have a night off? Yeah, right. When you have a night off and you want to kind of experience kind of the local food scene, where do you like going out these days?
I got to be honest with you, Oro Valley has to get better.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Baby steps.
I'm thrilled that Cuban Blaze is here. This is my first time here. Shame on me.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Family-owned restaurant
Duly
doing
noted.
Cuban cuisine. And I told you I missed Don Ramon's from the old days over on 6 before he burned down.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I do love my – I was always pining that we the opportunity to have another Cuban restaurant. So it's 4 minutes from my house now.
Oh, my God.
So that's amazing.
Wonderful.
But the problem is that Oro Valley, I love it. A lot of chain restaurants.
A lot of chain.
You know,
but we're not going to be seeing you at Applebee's or
no.
Chili's or, God forbid, Red Lobster.
So my former co-host, Joe, we used to make fun of him because his big night out used to be Chili's.
Oh, no.
Right? And we're like, hey, Joe, local restaurant. And it goes back to, again, Marvin Schenken, the gentleman who owns Cigar Aficionado and Wine
and
Spectator.
And Wine Spectator, absolutely.
So he was answering letters. They have letters to the editor, but it's goes to him. There is no letters to the editor. It's letters to Marvin.
Oh, my gosh.
And someone says, because Wine Spectator's ratings are 70 and above. So someone said, dear Marvin, why do you not publish the ones that rate less than 70%? And very simply, Marvin typed back, life's too short to drink crap wine.
There it is. Life is too short to smoke bad cigars. Life is too short to have bad food.
You are correct.
Or eat it. I'm going to get bad.
And everyone's discretionary income is usually not as maybe as fat as it used to be. So if you're going to go spend money and go out, make sure the money stays here and you're having an amazing experience.
And that's what it needs to be. Yep. It needs to be amazing. It needs to be memorable because, as you said, with this discretionary dollars that you have in your pocket, you're not going to go back if it's not either. So what about on the drink side? Are you a beer guy, a wine guy, or are you a spirituous sophisticate? I mean, come on. Where do you land on the libation spectrum?
Probably a good red wine to go with, you know, Italian food that I make at home.
Nice.
I can do a very... I can go to Total Wine and get some good Chilean Malbecs, and I like a Chilean Malbec a lot with a good red sauce.
Oh,
it just
gorgeous.
Works for me perfect.
Beautiful pairing.
You know, I don't necessarily need to have, as Hannibal Lecter once said, a nice Chianti. Okay, I can do it with a Malbec and be very happy. Cocktail-wise, I do like a good bourbon or a tequila in the winter.
Nice.
Kind of thing.
Seasonally inspired spirits.
Of course. And then,
I like it.
And I can do tequila. Actually, tequila is 12 ounces. I mean, I do 10 trips a year into Mexico
yes,
now.
Yes, you do.
To Rocky
yeah.
Point. And so tequila's just kind of
Let's raise a glass with Suds. We're actually going to be tasting the Detonator IPA, not for beginners, Christy Simone, from the good guys down.
Now for sound quality, I got to use my glass.
Okay,
so.
there it is. The Copper Mine Brewing Company. This is a gorgeous IPA, reaching about 7.2 on the ABV scale, 75 IBUs, so it's got a beautiful hop note.
And it's even tasting better out of my on the menu. Hard plastic solo cup.
And that is your very own now that you're a celebrity co-host. And that's dishwasher
that.
Safe, Chris.
Is it?
Top Rack.
You are.
Top Rack. We're talking to Chris DeSimone. He's our celebrity co-host for the full hour in this live broadcast. He's the host of Wake Up Tucson, heard every Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. on KVOI AM 1030.
Yes, sir.
Tucson's voice.
Well, thank you very
and
much.
And which anniversary did you just have?
We just had our eighth anniversary.
We had a
bunch of people show up to the former Tucson Marriott University Park, and I had basically four amazing DJs of Tucson's past. Including my own producer, Ed Alexander.
And he's an icon.
He's an icon.
I've known Ed for decades.
And I had Jim Arnold, Ed Alexander, Jim Bednarik, and Alan Michaels. And literally each guy spun a 45 to 50 minute set for a different decade.
I saw some of the photos on Facebook and they looked like it was so much fun.
More people danced than I ever thought they would.
Did you get up and dance,
I did. Danced with my wife many a time.
Is there a video?
Probably.
All right. Well,
I think my event director did take it. I just told her not to put it on Facebook.
During the commercial break, we're going to look for that video.
You
but
can.
This is radio, so that will mean a thing for our listeners. Anyway, Chris, thanks for hanging out with us. This is going to be a great show.
I am honored by your invitation.
We're going to take a quick commercial break and thank a couple of sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to two celebrity Rotarians who have a thing or two to tell you about chocolate in this live broadcast from Cuban Blaze. Stick around. We'll be right back. And welcome back to On the Menu Live. This is Matt Russell broadcasting live deep in the heart of happiness here at Cuban Blaze on North Oracle Road in Oro Valley, just north of the El Conquistador. Having a great time with our celebrity co-host, the host of Wake Up Tucson, the Honorable Chris DeSimone, is back with us.
Thank you, Matthew.
Making our way through the most delicious hour on radio. And speaking of delicious, let's see, where's the segue in this? It's chocolate. I mean, our two guests
No segue needed.
Anyway, we have representing the wonderful spirit that is Rotary. We have our friends John Lee and James Mandolini here talking about chocolate. How are you guys doing?
Great. Thanks for having us.
So, Rotary, service above self, right? I mean, the spirit that weaves its way through Rotary is just wonderful. It's a wonderful story. Rotarians for generations have been, you know, hardworking men and women that make the world go round. But there's another thing that's making the world go round, and it is chocolate. And coming up on April 23rd, there's going to be an event built around chocolate exclusively. Talk a little bit about what you guys have up your sleeve.
So it's our ninth annual Taste of Chocolate.
on Sunday, April 23rd, as you said, at the Doubletree Reed Park on Alvernon from 2 to 4 p.m., and tickets are $15. And what you get to do is you get to taste delicious chocolate treats from over 20 local chefs and vote for your favorite.
Oh, so you can be the, so people that can come, it's a people's choice. They can vote themselves.
Oh, yeah,
it's not this, you know, this august body of judges that sit in a back room somewhere and quietly and covertly decide who has the best chocolate.
Didn't we just do that this morning?
We just did that with barbecue.
That's the deep chocolate state.
It's a democratic operation that we've got going on there.
Matt and I were just in a barbecue star chamber earlier today.
Yes, we were. We barely survived. But anyway, so this is all things chocolate. Now, I got to ask you, when we think about chocolate, we think about sweet, obviously. I'm imagining there's going to be a number of different representations on the spectrum. So dark chocolate, white chocolate, milk chocolate.
Chocolate takes a lot of forms. You're going to see cakes, your standard treats, but you're also going to see like Borderlands is going to be there with their Nolte Dolce vanilla chocolate beer.
Oh, beautiful.
You know, so
beautiful.
It takes a surprisingly there's chocolate coffees on display, wines, just. John?
A very eclectic mix of edibles and drinks that are going to make the event successful. So just to put it in perspective, it's our ninth annual event. That's 1 year longer than Chris has been on air, and I feel like I've been listening to him since I've been 10 years old.
Thank you.
Wait a minute. What? Yep, carry the one. You're right. Yes.
No, this is a great event. We raise about $30,000 for our program, Rotary Local, which goes into local schools helping teachers. And it really is fun. Everybody's invited. Bring their families. Bring their friends.
Children under four are free.
Yep, tickets are available at the door. It's only $15. A lot of the money comes from corporate sponsorships, but it's really about getting money back into local classrooms and helping teachers out.
Yeah, so the program itself, the Taste of Chocolate isn't just about you tasting chocolate and raising money for our club, because the money all goes back into a program we have called Rotary Local.
Mm-hmm.
And that all derived from a conversation John and I had once over a beer. All good ideas are over a beer.
Exactly.
So our wives both taught, and we watched how much stuff left our house and went into the classroom, and we sort of realized, wow, teachers are really bringing, the joke about teachers is the only job you have where you steal from your office supplies from your house and bring them to work.
That's right. It's like, honey, why are we taking 5 gallons of hand sanitizer out of the house?
Yeah,
why do we have it in our house in the first place?
That Costco trip wasn't for me, was it? So,
honey, have you seen my paste? I can't find my paste.
So what we did as a club is we built a website, rotarylocal.org,
okay,
where teachers can submit proposals. Our club discusses and votes on them completely online, and then we, instead of telling teachers, here's what you need in your classroom, we ask them what they need in their classroom, and then we give it to them. A lot of requests. We're at 88 so far over the last 3 years, 88 requests, usually in the $500 range, but $500 in a classroom makes an enormous amount of difference.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, and we spend the money with local businesses too. So Bookman's, Gibson's Office Supply, there's
instrumental music, a
lot of different local companies. So the money is raised locally and it stays locally and bounces around our economy. And the Taste of Chocolate feeds into that.
I love that. And this is a program that is part of Rincon Rotary Club. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I think Tom Eaf is probably listening right now. Well, do you have a message for Tom Eaf right now?
Oh, yeah. Tom's
my
mentor.
What can we say about Tom Eaf on live radio? And remember, it's a family show, John.
Yeah, Tom Eaf is my mentor.
Where's my list of words I can't say?
Tom was president of our club when we started this program, and he really kind of took it under his wing and made it happen. So it really was his leadership and mentorship that made this all possible.
Yeah, he gave us the first green light.
I'm about
light.
To weep.
He gave us the first green light. And one of the things about our club is most of the members are going to tell you how they met or how they got involved via Tom or someone who Tom brought in. And then it's just he really did. He gave us the first green light when a lot of people were looking at us and they didn't really get the idea. We're like, they're going to tell us what they want? Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right.
And so they know what they need. And it's been great. Just some of the grants we give it. We go to the classrooms and deliver them, and we ask kids, do you know what Rotary is? And a lot of times they don't. And so we're kind of hoping to seed the next generation of Rotarians, of people involved in the community, by really being involved in the local business cycle, the local classrooms, education. And it hasn't just been, we're mostly an Eastside club, but we've gone as far north as, Oro Valley.
We've gone to Vail. I mean, we're spread out through Tucson. So So on top of the Taste of Chocolate and Rotary Local, if teachers are listening, you know, they're welcome to look at rotarylocal.org, and they can apply for a grant there.
Great. We're talking to John Lee and James Mandolini, two great Rotarians here, about the Taste of Chocolate. It's happening on April the 23rd from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Doubletree Reed Park. Tickets are only $15. And again, you can buy them at the door, but we're also going to be, through your generosity, there you go being Rotarians again, through your generous giving, you're going to be providing two tickets for us to give away a little bit later on in the show to one of our listeners. That's going to be great. Now, when it comes to chocolate, are you more of a dark chocolate guy, white chocolate?
Milk. Chocolate.
You're a milk chocolate guy, just sort of classicist in his own right. John, what about you?
Yeah, the dark chocolate. I tend to eat too much of milk chocolate when it gets put in front of me, so I can enjoy a little bit of dark.
Give us an idea of some of the chefs that are going to be showcasing their magistry and their artistry at this event.
We'll have Cakes for Causes, Nadine's Bakery. There's going to be a very eclectic group.
Epic Cafe.
Right. I understand that Inca's Peruvian cuisine is going to be there. We did our show there a couple of weeks ago. I love the Campos family.
And Borderlands Brewing Company has been helping out for years, so they'll be there too with their chocolate beer. And there will be wine. So it's a family-friendly event, but we'll have some fun too.
Beer, wine, and chocolate. All the three basic food groups right there. Anyway, John Lee and James Mandolini, two great Rotarians. Again, Tucson Taste of Chocolate, April the 23rd from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Doubletree Reed Park. Thank you guys for everything you do in this community, for keeping the spirit of Rotary alive and relevant, especially with this next generation that's going to learn about you through sweets. And I just love that.
Yes.
Thanks again, guys. We're going to take another quick commercial break and thank a couple more of our valued sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to be transporting your palates to Havana with Maritza Monclova Duran and David Duran, the proprietors here at Cuban Blaze. Stick around. We'll be right back. And welcome back to On the Menu Live. This is Matt Russell broadcasting live from Cuban Blaze in Oro Valley on North Oracle Road, just a stone's throw north of the El Conquistador here, hanging with my good buddy, celebrity co-host Chris DeSimone.
I feel so celebrity.
I mean, you look so celebrity. And now you're blushing the color of your red solo cup. Anyway, always great to see you.
Thanks for having me.
So, as often is the case with family restaurants, it's the family story that is behind everything that is offered, whether that's at the center of the plate or the music or the art or the culture. And when you walk in the door of Cuban Blaze, it's like a snapshot of Havana, of Cuba, the music, the colors, the stories, the camaraderie, the community, the smells, and here are two people behind those smells. I'm all about the segue, Chris.
You're killing
it. The proprietors, Maritza Monclova Duran and David Duran, thank you guys so much for hosting us today.
Thank you. Thank you for coming.
So where in the world, okay, so you could do anything. It's a blank canvas. You and your husband, you woke up one morning and say, I think we want to open up a restaurant. Why Cuba? What is it that you love about the region from a culinary perspective?
From the culinary perspective, I love the flavorful. It's a flavorful food that it's not spicy. We always had a dream to have our own restaurant, our own business. And it becomes the idea to come Cuban since we don't have any food that it's Cuban or Caribbean close to in this area.
Right.
So we decided one day and we said, like, okay, let's do it for a Cuban food, and that's how the idea came.
Now, you say we. David, you know, did she wake up one morning and say, look, we're going to do this, just nod and smile and say yes because this is a great idea and we're going to go with it?
Mostly. This was her dream. Her dream was to have a restaurant and, well, a business restaurant preferably. And I'm like, well, babe, it's your dream. We have the chance to do it. Let's do it.
Oh, and you're still talking to each other, so that's nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
So far, so good. So far, so good.
And how long have you been open?
We've been open 8 months now.
8 months already.
8 months.
And this community really has responded, right? I mean,
yes,
like you say, there's not a saturation of Cuban restaurants in Tucson.
No,
so
when
you offer Cuba, people are going to come because they want to taste those vibrant flavors you were talking about.
Yes, yes. A lot of people ask, is your food spicy? Can kids eat it? Do we have special dishes for kids? I mean, it's a lot of flavor, but it's not spicy at all. So we're, like, having a lot of good response from the community.
Talk a little bit about the setting here. So when people come in, as I said, when I first walked in, I just was sort of, I had this Havana and surround sound experience from the music to the art. I mean, is that really was the idea, right, to create this quick destination to get you from here to Havana, virtually speaking?
Yes.
Yeah, it was a lot of it's just the simple cafe style. From what I understand from people who have been to Cafe or who lived in Cafe or people who work here, the one gentleman who is from Cuba, this is a lot of similar of what they have there. Nothing fancy-dancy. It's you simply come in, feel like home, and that's what we want. We want people to come in and feel like home. People from Florida who know this food, they come in there, they eat it, they nice taste.
Great point.
Oh, I've had people, customers that come in when they take a bite that look on their face like, this is home. That's what we want.
Mission accomplished, right?
Exactly, yeah. We've had a couple people, like I said, one gentleman in particular was literally speechless when he took his first bite. And that was, you knew you have someone like that, and they're it just reminds him so much of home.
So what are some of the Cuban classics that we can expect when we crack open the menu here at Cuban Blaze?
Well, you got the Cuban sandwich, our ham that's on it, and the bread we actually get from Miami. Because if you know what the sandwich should taste like, it better taste like it. So we get the bread specifically for this from there. Well, we do have one or two that are not necessarily Cuban, but they're sort of a Cuban
infused
flavors. Ropa Vieja, which was real popular as a special, but it was such a popular special, we would run out too fast because people would come in and order it and order it and order it. So we put it on the menu. So we get a little bit of Caribbean flavor, not just Cuba, but some of our specials or some of our other odd menu items. And our chef took some ideas and took the Cuban sandwich to a different level and turned it into what we call a cohiba, which is an appetizer. It's basically the whole Cuban sandwich where you have everything wrapped in the ham, deep fat fried with its own breadcrumbs. You talk about a wow flavor.
Yeah, seriously.
And very, very
we also
delicious.
Serve paella every second Friday and Saturday of the month.
And if I'm doing my math correctly, that would be this Friday and Saturday, this coming Friday and Saturday.
Yes,
next
yes.
week,
weekend, yes.
right?
The next weekend.
Okay.
Well, actually, the 14th.
That's it?
That yeah.
It. That's next week, right? Yeah. Did you see the movie Chef?
Not yet. We've
okay.
heard a lot about that movie. We unfortunately.
I mean, Cuban sandwich sales skyrocketed from that movie alone.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you have to go see the movie Chef.
I have
Maritza.
To. I have to.
Seriously.
I have to educate Dana.
No. What was it like finding a chef? I mean, you find a chef. That's a such an intentional decision that you make when you open up a restaurant. You're going to have somebody kind of, you know, staff the back of the house there. I mean, talent is a big deal.
It's well, a big deal. It's yeah. a big challenge. Yes.
When we took over this restaurant from what it was, the gentleman who was here was going to leave. He was going to go somewhere else. After being here a short time, he decided he wanted to stay because he wants to grow his to become that master chef type. And he's done a very good job of not just learning how to make the food and prepare it, but to come up with different ideas. And he's come a long way in a short period of time, and he's really good at it.
And what's his name again?
Eston.
Yep, and Eston, I think, he's going to be joining us in the second half of the show. We're going to
yes,
hear
yes.
a little bit about his journey. He's actually going to be putting some of these bold words to the test by serving Chris DeSimone and myself.
Wow.
Chris is a very discriminating palate. So I'm very excited
to see. You learned
that
earlier today.
Yeah, I did. We judged a barbecue competition. But anyway, we have to take a quick news break and take a couple of sponsors.
Okay.
But when we come back, we're going to be talking with your chef doing a culinary tour of Havana. So thank you so much for hosting us.
Thank you.
We're going to be right back with you on the other side of this break. You're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around. We'll be right back. And welcome back to On the Menu Live. Fellow foodies, we are broadcasting live from Cuban Blaze on North Oracle Road again in Oro Valley, just north of the El Conquistador here with my celebrity co-host. He's the host of Wake Up Tucson, heard every Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. on KVOI. That's another radio station.
I was promoting your station on my online.
And we all play very well together in the virtual sandbox.
The brotherhood of radio.
I tell you what. And there's a lot of people in this community who play well together, and a number of them are our sponsors, fellow foodies. This show simply would not be possible were it not for the very forward-thinking and intentional decision by local businesses to support local food radio. So support them with your energy and your drive and your love and your money. Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics, the Tucson Originals, Tucson Foodie, Tino's Pizza, Jerry's Cigars, and we're going to be talking about cigars in a minute, Commoner & Co., Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro, and Russell Public Communications, all great local businesses. Support them, please, because they support us. Well, and then the food arrived, Chris.
I've already had a little bit of the Ropa Vieja, and it's very nice.
Okay, we're going to be talking about that, but there is a guy here who is at the center of the deliciousness because he himself, and I'm sure he'll say that it takes a village and all that, but he is the man behind the magnificence. Was which is at the center of the plate, and he is executive chef Eston Stogner. Eston, nice to see you, sir.
Nice to meet you guys. How you doing?
I'm great, and thank you so much for stepping away from the office that is your kitchen and sitting down and hanging out with us for a bit.
Yeah, I mean, no problem. Sorry to get me away from there, you know, but a little radio spot, you know, I got to come out and talk to you guys.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to be tasting, you know, I show some restraint, right? The minute the food arrives, Chris is rolling up his sleeves and he's diving in.
Oh, yeah.
For the one time in my life, I don't have any of those responsibilities. I just get to sit and talk. So, I'm, you know, if it shows up, I'm going to hit it, buddy.
That's right. That's what we want you to do. Anyway, so we're going to be talking about the food here in just a bit, but let's get to know you. Where did your whole culinary journey start?
I mean, I've never been to culinary school or anything. I've been cooking in various restaurants throughout Tucson since I turned 15, you know.
Oh, wow.
So from fast food, national chains, I've been pretty much everywhere. So if you've eaten in Tucson in the last 10 years, more than likely I've probably cooked a meal for you eventually. So I've been
that.
All around, you know. And just coming here, just being able to work under the Cuban chefs that were here at the beginning and being able to take over has just been amazing for me. I feel like I've been able to pick up phenomenally what it is. My wife's from Puerto Rico, so I've had a little bit of taste of the
beautiful
food before. Yeah.
Beautiful.
So, I mean, it was a little transition. You know, I've mostly in my life cooked like Mexican food, Italian food. So it was a little different, but I mean, it's been going great.
Okay, so my first restaurant, when I was 16 years old, now this is full disclosure, I'm just gonna throw it out there because I'm gonna ask you your first restaurant, right?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, I worked at the drive through at Wiener Schnitzel, Eston.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I was the line cook at McDonald's, you know.
Okay, good. Hey, we got that done. Now, working at Wiener Schnitzel, where I had to wear that goofy little hot dog hat, I was 16, mind you, and I'm working at the drive through on a Friday night, and of course, all my friends, you know, I didn't date much.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't when you're wearing a hot dog hat.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
At least McDonald's has a level of respect. Yeah. Okay, what about your first Tucson restaurant? Where'd you work here in town?
Honestly, this is the first two, like, locally based restaurant. I've been, you know, like the Village's Inn, IHOP's, you know, Pizza Hut's, Applebee's.
So this is great because at all those restaurants, Chef, you're basically ripping a page out of a corporate playbook,
which basically
says this is how you're going to do it. And what a boring existence.
Yeah, exactly.
That
now
would
here I get to be the one making the playbook and giving it to other people saying, here, this is how you got to do it. So
what was that transition like from basically copying what some corporate person in New York said to actually having the creative expression to do it on your own?
It's amazing. It's what I've always wanted to do, just being able to really do it. And not they allow me a lot of freedom. They don't really tell me what I have to do too much. So, I mean, you know, I got to keep it Cuban. So that's pretty much the only restraint there.
Keep it, hashtag keep it Cuban. Right? That's our hashtag.
I get
tempted
sometimes. Oh, I want to do some kind of tacos or something. I'm like, no, I'm in a Cuban restaurant. You know, I got to calm that side of me down. But it's just been amazing being able to come up with my own recipes and tweak them to perfection pretty much and come up with my own things like these cojibas here. And It's been really fun.
What do you love about the region when you're thinking about kind of this fusion of Caribbean and Spanish kinds of cuisine? What do you love? What speaks to you to your heart when it comes to this style
of cooking? Just the creativity, really. I mean, you know, Cuba traditionally isn't the richest country, so they have to make do with what they have, and they got to get creative and find all the different ways how they could work with one product and come up with 10 different ways to do it, and it's just amazing. I love it, really.
Now, before we dig into to the food here, I've heard words. I've heard cojiba. I've heard maduro.
Yeah.
I've heard, and these are, now I'm a cigar guy.
Okay.
So these are classic cigar terms.
Okay.
Now, I got to ask you.
Yeah.
Can you move a chair 20 feet away from that front door in a way that would allow a guest to actually light a cigar to be fully compliant with the regulations that were so unnecessarily voted in by the very misguided voters of the Grand Canyon State? Have you ever had anybody ask you to light a cigar on your patio?
I mean, not that I know of, but I'm not a server, you know. I got to talk to them. They don't really tell me too much about that stuff.
So, all right.
Well, and I'm sure they have, you know.
Right.
People love their cigars, like you said. So.
Of course. Yeah. I love it. So talk a little bit about your menu. Now, you actually do have, you're not just, you know, kind of a late afternoon dinner kind of a place. You're actually starting early in the morning with a breakfast.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we do keep a traditional American-style menu breakfast that is Cuban-infused. We have a few items that we infuse, you know, the Cuban flavor in. But we do a great traditional create-your-own breakfast, $6.99 Monday through Sunday. It's phenomenal. Greatest deal in town. You get to pick four things out of a list. We got, like, you know, the French toast, the sausage, bacon, hash browns, foam fries, eggs. Like, oh, there's 10 things you pick for $6.99.
Now, here you guys have Eggs Benedict.
Yeah, well, it's a Cuban style.
Now, how do you inject a little Cuba into what is really a kind of a traditional
We kind of took apart the Cuban sandwich use the bread as the bread, the pork and the ham as the meat instead of, you know, just a slice of Canadian bacon or whatever. And, you know, we just do the eggs and a little mojo garlic sauce. It's our garlic sauce in the hollandaise and comes together really great.
Oh, just a little mojo garlic sauce, he says.
So what's your favorite thing on this menu right now that just
honestly,
jazzes you to make?
What's in front of here, what's in front of us right here, the ropa vieja, it's honestly my favorite. I eat taco pretty much every day, a little taco.
You eat it every day, the ropa vieja?
Yeah, a little taco.
Oh, beautiful.
So ropa vieja is one of those slow-cooked, love-infused kind of things.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
explain
definitely.
The process on a ropa vieja.
Well, so, I mean, we got to cut all the fat off of it, so you just get the nice, delicious meat. You don't get none of the nasty fat in there. We marinate it overnight, and then we cook it the next day, or the next night, depending on where we're at in our, you know, work processes. And then I created this delicious sauce right here that I created the recipe, perfected the recipe for, and we put in the sauce and, you know, hit it up, and you guys get to enjoy it.
Now, who gets to participate in the R&D when you say you perfected the recipe? I mean, is this just you going it over and over and over again? Or, you know, you call your favorite radio show hosts and he's hosts and you say, look, I need some help on the research and development side. Yeah. That seems to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, you got Google at your fingertips. You know, so I was able to look at 24 recipes whenever I want, see what I like, see what I didn't like, see what I fit to this clientele over here. Because, I mean, obviously we're not in a Cuban heavy area here, so we've had to still fit it to the clientele that's around our area. So
making it relevant, making it rewarding.
I've seen one Cuban drive through here before.
Oh, yeah.
On Oracle Road, but yeah, you're right, it's not that heavy on the Cubans.
That's right.
Yeah.
Have you seen the movie Chef? Have you seen that movie?
Yes, I saw it on Netflix like a couple weeks ago. It's pretty awesome.
Okay, so I was saying the Dudans have never seen that movie before.
Oh, really?
Now, that's going to change their lives, right?
Yeah, it was a really, really good movie, honestly. It was probably one of the best movies I've seen in a long time.
I mean, there would be like a huge demand for the Cuban sandwich the second that people, you know, when that movie is over, people go from the mall all the way up to this restaurant.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fascinating. Yeah. So, let's try a little bit of Chef Eston Sogner's work here. Now, you brought out a couple of things for us to try.
Yeah.
We've only had some IPA here, again, from the Copper Mine Brewing Company, a lovely Detonator IPA. So we've already begun to prepare our palates with a little floral note, a little hop note there. Where should we begin the tasting?
If you're going to dig into the ropa vieja, get a little rice with a little of the meat together.
Okay.
And that'll be a delicious bite for you there.
Okay.
The Maduro, that stands alone. It's kind of like a sweeter, ripe version of it's a different kind of banana, the plantain, and that's a really ripe version of it. So it's a little sweeter. You might want to save that till the end. And the Cohiba right here, these are our appetizers. So and that stands alone as well. Really has a little bit of everything. What I did was I took the sandwich and found a way to fry it. So I took the ham and I rolled pork, cheese, pickles in it, breaded it with the Cuban bread, fried it up, and came out really good.
Beautifully tender. Yeah. You marinated this overnight, you said.
Yeah,
to really just break it down, it succumbed.
Yeah, exactly.
It surrendered.
Yeah, it didn't have no choice.
It had that Stogner surrender to it. It just said, enough, I'm done. And the sauce is beautiful. So it's not thick, syrupy sauce that we find a lot of times with these dishes, because you really want that beef to sing. You want it to stay.
You don't want it to just be
Your Maduro is excellent, because it's the plantain is crispy on the outside, but creamy on the inside.
Yeah.
And
I get on myself and my chefs back there, because if they're a little bit darker, tell them, no, can't use that. Got to throw it away. Got to make it perfect. Because if they're a little dark, like you said, it does change the whole dynamic of it. So it has to be perfect. For sure.
Well done, chef. And the Cohiba thing I just ate. Sorry, I wasn't ahead of everybody. That's
all right.
That's a very interesting creation. Very tasty.
Well, I'm going to go in on the Cohiba. Now, I can't eat and talk at the same time, even though Cater, our engineer, has seen me try to do it from time to time. But I'm going to go in. Why don't you share your observations on the Cohiba? Because I'm going to go in.
Now, basically, you have a Cuban sandwich.
Yes.
And you have it wrapped inside. Basically, you've basically kind of breaded it, right?
Yeah, exactly. I took the Cuban bread. I mean, we always have bread scraps that we're cutting off because we cut slices of bread. So I was like, I got to use those somehow.
So you're using homemade breadcrumbs.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is kudos to you again. To basically take a version of a Cuban sandwich and make it, and it looks like a cigar.
Yeah.
Talk about your sauce on the side.
It's a traditional, I think maybe more Puerto Rican sauce, like a mayo ketchup, kind of Cohiba sauce. We put a little of our mojo in there as well, give it a little garlic kick.
A little bit of almost an aioli texture to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Velvety.
Yeah.
Kind of rich. I'm going back in. Now, is this an appetizer on the menu?
Yeah, it is. And what inspired us, we've had a lot of people ask us, like, to split a Cuban sandwich four ways for an appetizer. So I was like, I got to find a way to put the appetizer that's a sandwich, but it's not really a sandwich. And this is kind of what I came up with right here.
Beautiful.
What's so amazing about a Cuban sandwich, of course, it's the double pork sandwich, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Roast pork, I mean.
And ain't nothing wrong with that.
No, definitely.
But I love, you know, we talked about the texture in that ropa vieja. The texture in this is amazing, too, because you've got that sort of that cracker crisp shell on the outside.
Yeah.
Then you got the little pop of that dill, of that pickle. Then the tenderness of that aioli that sort of cascades on the palate as it begins to kind of melt away. Man, I can make a meal out of this.
The pickle inside is awesome.
The pickle is off the hook. Now, is there a pickle secret, Chef?
I don't think. Like, honestly, the first time I made it without a pickle, and I gave it to our server Adam. I was like, "Here, try this." He's like, "There's something missing." I was like, "Well, I didn't put the pickle in." He's like, "Obviously, like that's a big deal for right there for the sandwich too. You know, the crispness of it is just sets it all off really."
Because there's no other cuisine that has something like that that has a pickle in it
that.
Yeah, definitely.
So, David, how's he doing, man? I mean, I got to tell you,
he's doing a really good job.
He speaks with such passion about the food.
He does.
And at the end of the day, isn't that what food is supposed to do?
It is. It's supposed to remind you or take you back to a different place, different time, especially with this type of food. There are a large of Cuban, Puerto Rican, Dominican public or people, like I said, from Miami that are here. So when they come in, they see these different types of food. It's like, well, I've never had something like that. We'll taste it. And they're just like, wow, just like when I was a kid, just like when I was on a trip to here, and brings them back. And so we've had a lot of repeat customers just because of that. It reminds them of that time.
Yeah. And it tells a story. I mean, and that's what food should really do.
It does. And he comes up with some really neat ideas. And those cohibas, to me, is very fattening as I rub my belly. I love them. It's one
all
of my
moderation.
Favorites. Yeah.
I only eat one at a time.
Yeah, one at a time, but there's four. So.
Exactly.
But he hit this out of the ballpark when he came up with this creation idea. And he, like you said, he'll ask some of our servers, hey, try this. Or we'll come up with an idea. It's like, well, we got a couple customers. Go give them one, see how they taste, see what their response is.
What's the biggest challenge you face as a chef in this environment? You're an imaginative and a creative guy. You know, you've got this expectation to produce, especially after this broadcast. But have you encountered any stumbling blocks along the way?
I mean, really just trying to stay true to the culture. I mean, obviously I'm from here, you know. My wife's from Puerto Rico. But, I mean, it's a little different, you know, the Cuban side. Luckily, we have a Cuban guy here, Jorge. He kind of guides me along and lets me know, oh, no, that's not really right, or this is right most of the time. You know, this is right. So, I mean, that's really been the biggest thing. And, I mean, but it's easy to get over, really.
Now, to your wife, is she part of that judging team?
Yeah, definitely.
Nothing will be played at the Cuban Blaze without the seal of approval of Mrs. Dogner.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I took a cohiba home. Like, I gave one to Adam. I took one home to my wife and see what she found. She's like, bring one tomorrow. So I was like, okay, cool. I guess we definitely got to put this on the menu for sure.
So you're doing across the landscape. You've got some seafood dishes here.
Yeah.
You got some beef dishes, some pork dishes. I mean, if it swims or walks on the land, it's going
to
be...
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we try to hit a little bit for everybody. You know, we don't want anybody to come in and not see something that they might like. So,
what's an example of a great seafood dish here? When you think about where Cuba is, you know, regionally, some cuisine.
Most famous seafood dish would probably be paella, which is like a seafood rice. We do. It's not on our full-time menu. We do it once a month, the second weekend of every month. It's a big hit. So, I mean, definitely got to make your reservations for that. It has mussels, clams, shrimp, oysters, scallops. I put a little chicken in there, too. And it's just a really delicious rice. We have the bacalao a la Vizcaína right now. It's our Lenten special.
Say that again.
Bacalao a la Vizcaína. It's a Lenten special in Cuba. It's a salted cod that I salt myself with a smoked sea salt. And it's a delicious tomato.
Smoked sea salt.
Smoked sea salt.
The Goombas in New York, we have it bacalao in the Italian world. So I was right on it.
You've been there, man. I'm just nodding.
I'm locked on this guy.
I'm going to ask you if you'd marry me, but you're off. You're already married.
Exactly. Yeah, my wife. Yeah, she's got me snatched up.
I love the story that goes with the cuisine. I like that you say that you like to keep with the culture, the traditions of Cuban cuisine, and I love that you're representing, you know, all the great proteins. Paella, you only do it to the second
weekend of every month
because it really is a commitment when you're making
it.
This
is
dish,
right? I mean, I
you
start
just
from
knock
7
out
in the morning till 4 o'clock, and
seriously,
that's all. I'm really narrow-minded, kind of makes everybody else mad, but no, at the end of the day, it comes out amazing, so that's all that matters.
And you mentioned reservations really are very important,
especially on paella weekend. You definitely want to, because I mean, we'll sell 15 in the first hour. hour in.
In the first hour. Okay, again, and that's coming up on April the 14th.
That's coming up real fast, yes.
This coming Friday. And so how do people make reservations? What's the best way to do
that? They just either call us. They can go online and send us an email through our website, through Facebook. I mean, there's different ways of doing it. My wife and I check.
Send us on Twitter. I mean, if you send me a message on Twitter, at CubanBlazeOV, tell me I want a table for this day. You know, we'll mark it down.
CubanBlazeOV is your Twitter handle.
Yes.
That's where you can find out all the information. Facebook is where all you're posting all of your – you ever do any live music here at Cuban Blaze?
Not yet. Okay. No, there's a lot of red tape we have to go through for that. But
Red tape, Christy Simone.
I feel like I got another show topic for Monday.
Only have 3 hours, though.
You know what I like about this guy? He's – trained, possibly mildly suffered under corporate chef regimes for all these years, right? Then he gets a shot with this family to do this, and I really love your enthusiasm, that you're into it, you're open to new ideas. Because that's the biggest thing. If you're not willing to learn in this job, you're going to fail.
Yeah, the second you think you know it all, you're going to know nothing. So.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
Well, we're going to give one of our listeners a chance to win a gift certificate to experience Cuban Blaze and Esten Stockner for themselves.
That's great.
And we thought about a good question to ask. You talked about that rope of vieja that you marinated overnight, but it also doesn't just reduce immediately. There's a lot of time that it takes to reduce that down, to get it to that beautiful, tender profile texture that you want. We want to know, and don't answer this because you're not eligible.
Okay.
I mean, I'd love to give you a Cuban Blaze gift certificate, but one of our listeners is going to get it. How long does a Chef Esten Stockner reduce that beef in that ropa vieja? How long does that reducing, simmering process take? We want to know. The first person in with the right answer, or the closest to the right answer, is going to get a Cuban Blaze gift card. Send me a note right now on themenulive@gmail.com. Again, onthemenulive@gmail.com. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Thanks to more of our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to be wrapping up this live broadcast from Cuban Blaze. You're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It is Matt Russell and Christy Simone broadcasting live from Cuban Blaze. We have transported our pallets to Havana, and boy, are we the lucky ones. Come on in. Dinner crowd is just arriving. Have some of these Cubanos, these Cohibas with this wonderful aioli. The ropa vieja is just singing in its own right, and we're back with Chef Esten Stockner. Now, we are actually drinking some craft beer here, but you don't sell craft beer here.
No, we do not.
You got a BYOB thing happening here.
Yeah, you bring your own beer. You get a what other specifics, David? I'm not really sure.
Specifics are you can have a bottle of wine per person, up to three bottles.
Oh, you've seen me. You've seen me out.
There it is. We have a nice little sign. Don't forget
his beautiful wife is doing the Vanna White with the with a sign, or a boxing card ring girl.
So yeah, there you go. Don't forget your BYOB. You get one bottle of wine or three beers or 4 ounces of Mineral Sprints. And this is per person.
Per person. So per my person. Wife and I come in for dinner. We can bring two bottles of wine.
Yes.
And like a $30, $40 corkage fee?
There is no cork fee whatsoever. We want to keep this as a family restaurant.
No corkage fee.
There's no cork fee because we want to keep this a family atmosphere. And the best way to do it is everybody comes in with what they want to drink. Because if I'm going to have beer or wine, I'm only going to have certain types. Well, that doesn't mean everybody's going to like it, especially with all these types of breweries and people brewing at home.
Which is what we did.
Yeah. And so what we figure is keep it a BYOB, bring what you want. I'm not going to charge you a cork fee, so you're going to spend a lot less money on this food and the drink that you want.
You seen a lot of people do that, David?
Oh, the funniest thing is since Fry's is just down the street, they'll order, they'll see it's a BYOB, they will literally leave. Come back just in time for the table to be plated up, and they sit down right to a nice meal with their alcohol that they want. It happens at least once a week minimum.
This segment brought to you by Fry's.
Sorry about that.
No, it's all good.
But it's funny.
Of course.
It's now, funny how it happens.
How do you measure the growler? Now, how many beers can I bring in?
You can bring up to...
Three beers. Growlers.
No.
All right, sadly.
No.
But you know, there's probably three beers in that, right, in the growler?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, it's on by ounces, and I think it's 40 ounces.
All right, great.
Per person.
So I can bring in.
Since you got two people, and you're splitting it between the two or three, you're perfectly fine within the legal limits.
Glassware provided?
Glassware is provided.
Beautiful.
No cork fee.
The cork fee. And then catering is kind of a big deal here. So, you know, we see a lot of the same kinds of things on the catering circuit. And when you think about how you can bring this story that you were talking about, the culture of Cuba, to a special event or a party, get in touch with you guys. map out your menu and off you go.
We've had quite a few people do it a Cuban night, and so we provided some food for them. They loved every bit of it. We did a taste of Oro Valley last 2 weekends ago.
Oh, you guys, and you guys did really well.
We did really well. We took second in it.
Second place out of all these restaurants.
Exactly, yeah. We thought we took first, but hey, whatever. You know.
I'm sure it was all a misunderstanding.
I think it was too, yes.
There was a hanging chat.
We were, instead of bringing like one or two, we brought about 9 different things from our menu and served it up. And people were coming back more and more, which was perfectly fine by us. We had enough. And they loved every bit of it. It's like, oh, where are you at? And you know, we did have some people ask, you know, about how spicy it was, or is it like Mexican food? And I had some, no, it's not like Mexican food. It's not spicy. It's just very flavorful.
This is Oral Valley. Some of our citizens are a little more sensitive to the spice.
Yes, they are. So. Yes, they are.
That's right. Yeah. So spice doesn't mean hot.
No, it
just
not.
Means full of flavor.
Really, the hottest thing, if you will, would be our mojo sauce. It's basically garlic. But if we found out the more we mince it, the hotter it gets, like to horseradish. So we make it a little bit larger chunked, so it's not so spicy. But so if people want it, plus we have tapatio and other sauces if they want to use it to spice it up for themselves.
Now, there's only so much Chef Eston Stockner to go around. I mean, how many people can you feed? I mean, how big an event can you take on, dude?
I'll try as many as I can. I mean, we'll make it work, really. And you just call us up and we'll make it work. If it's not like, honestly, even if it's not on our catering menu, if you want a big dish of paella or something, we'll make it work. A big thing of vaca frita may not be on a menu, but if that's what you want, I mean, we'll
make it work.
Hey,
Manny, this guy's like the Rudy of chefs in this town, right? You know, coach says, hey, can you run through that wall for me? Chef S is like, yeah, I'll run through that wall for you.
He actually just did that today.
He ran through a wall. Great.
Just about, we had a catering.
That was when a drywall came immediately thereafter.
Right before this broadcast, he completed a 70-person catering that we just one of our servers took and nice. Is doing the setup.
I was kind of out of breath when I was sitting here. I was trying to catch myself back up.
So hours of operation here at Cuban Place.
We're open at 8 o'clock in the morning until 8 at night from Tuesday through, it would be Saturday. Saturday we do open until 9. So Sundays we're open at 8, but we close at 2. Because we want these people to have, that they have families, go have time with their families on Sunday. And we don't open until Monday until about 11.
Okay.
That way they have time on Mondays to, you know, recuperate if they had any fun with their families on the weekend.
Right.
So.
And again, the breakfast, $6.99.
Yeah, that's our builder breakfast. We do have other stuff on the menu for breakfast, some of the Cuban infused food. But we do have the $6.99, and it works pretty good, you know. People enjoy being able to pick, not just have different plates. It's like, okay, well, I want this, but I don't want this. Well, here you can pick the 4 that you want. And it comes with coffee usually. So, and it's not an added charge. It's just part of the menu.
Challenge you to find a better deal and have this kind, as we said, of a memorable. A breakfast should be memorable, guys.
It shouldn't
just be this pedestrian thing that you throw down and say and you move on to work. It should capture you. Yeah. It should stop you.
Cuban coffee?
Yes.
Yes, we do.
Cuban coffee, café con leche. I put some chocolate in one. We call it a Cuban mocha.
That's another one of his ideas.
There he goes again.
Yeah, with that we added churros. So a little Mexican flair to it too as well. So
let me ask you this, and I'm sure you get to go home from time to time.
Yeah.
Now, if you had to go home and clean out your entire refrigerator, but you were only allowed to keep one thing in the Stockner family refrigerator, what is the one thing that you, chef, cannot live without?
Guacamole.
Guacamole!
Guacamole.
Guacamole.
Really.
Tell me why. How come?
It's just, I mean, what I grew up with, my mom made great guacamole, I made great guacamole. It's really like a salad in itself, so, I mean, you could live off of it. So, yeah, guacamole is probably my favorite thing in the world.
Absolutely. I love it. Well, Chef Eston Stockner, thank you so much to you and your entire team for introducing us to this great, vibrant food and this cuisine that is alive. Again, Cuban Blaze on Oracle Road just north of the El Conquistador. And to the lovely Duran family, thank you for sharing your story with us.
Thank you.
And for letting us be a little part of telling it to this grand community. Thank you for everything that you did.
Thank you, guys. Great job. Thank you.
And Christy Simone, again, 6 a.m. on Monday. You are back at it. 6 to 9, Monday through Friday on KVOI.
Thank you, brother.
AM 1030. And again, wakeuptucson.net.
Yes. And thanks for a great double Matt Russell day.
Of course. Let's do it again sometime.
Up to you.
If you missed any part of this show whatsoever, the entire show is going to be up on our website on themenulive.com early next week. In the meantime, it's Matt Russell reminding you, if it's Saturday at 5, it is on The Menu Live. Cheers, fellow foodies. We will see you at Cuban Blaze. Have a great one.